Hey, good morning, everybody. We have a great, great day today. Today, Gary and Donna are celebrating 20 years on staff with us. 20 years. So we'll pray and go home. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to have a great time. Show that 20-year picture there, Patrick. Show. This is what he looked like. That was 20 years ago. And that picture was really pretty easy to find. That was him 20 years ago. This is him today. Gary, come on up. Join me up on the platform today. So what do you think when you see that picture?
I've lost a little hair. Don't know why. No. God, it has been such a journey. It's been such a journey. God, and you know, someone, and I don't know if you, some of you caught me today and said, happy anniversary. And I said, well, thank you for 20 years of patience. And, you know, I mean that. I mean that very, very seriously. Because over 20 years, so many things have changed. So many things have taken place. And you've been patient with that. And you've been such praying support for Donna and I during that. When I'd get a note in the offering plate that the drums were too loud or that the piano was too loud, you know, we worked together on figuring that out. You know, and you were patient with that process. And so it has just been a tremendous, tremendous journey.
So has it gone by fast? Because I was talking with Donna, your wife, just before the service, and she said it went by fast. Does it feel like it's gone by fast for you?
Very fast. Very, very fast. Yes. Yeah. And I get, you know, that's what they say, you know, it goes by fast if you're having fun. And thank you for allowing me to have fun.
So for the new folks here who hadn't been around the whole 20 years, tell us, real quickly, just a little bit about you, your family, that kind of thing.
I was born in Methodist Hospital, but lived the first 6 years of my life in Abernathy till my father took a position as manager of Anderson Brothers Jewelry over in the Monterey Shopping Center. If you want to know where that is, that's where Roses is, right over here in that big old vacant lot, everything. That was a Monterey Shopping Center. And anyway, so we moved. And we lived just two streets over, right over here, 3500 block of 48 and everything. And so, but we attended Oakwood Baptist Church as a family. That's where Mom and Dad felt led for us as a family. And that particular time in my life began a journey of discovering what God was doing in my life as far as ministry. I encountered a minister of music by the name of Joe Jones there at Oakwood. And then I encountered a guy by the name of John Glover, who was here at Monterey. And those two men became mentors in my life who nurtured me through some time. And so I entered high school and I tried out for the Monterey High School Choir. And lots of things happened in the Monterey High School Choir that really moved and changed life around. But one of the things was, I talked to my mom and dad and said, I want to really develop this situation. So they found a lady by the name of Sue Kreitz who gave voice lessons out of her home. So began that. And so one particular day came to lesson, and she said, Gary, what are you doing this coming Sunday? And this is right after I turned 16. And I said, I'm going to go to church. And she said, well, I want you to go to church somewhere else. And I said, what do you mean? And so she was a kind little Methodist lady. And she said, there is a Methodist church in New Home, Texas that needs somebody to lead music for a few weeks. And I want you to go do that. I'm going, don't they have a say in this? She said, I've already talked to the preacher. They're expecting you this Sunday. Okay. So drove out there, did a little few Sundays, did a Christmas program there. And then the Baptist church over there needed somebody to help lead music for a while. And one of my dear friends from Oakwood was the youth minister there. And so went over to the Baptist church for a while. From there, went to Roosevelt Baptist Church. And from Roosevelt, went out to Smyre. Yay, Smyre, right? And went out there and served. And then God called me to Elgin Avenue, which is now Redeemer Church. Served 4.5 years there. In that whole process, God began to reveal to me that this was exactly what he wanted me to do. My senior year, I tried out for a group called Continental Singers, and we traveled for the whole summer from June 1 till the middle of August. Our tour went completely around the whole United States, up into Canada and down into the Caribbean, and we did concerts every night, and we traveled all that time. We covered the whole perimeter of the United States in that summer, and there was something about that that just God used to light a fire. And when I got back, I was able to serve, like I said, at Elgin Avenue and then over at Westmoreland. And then in the midst of things, I was teaching school at Atkins. I was a choir director at Atkins for junior high for 3 years. And God said, Gary, I'm ready for you to do this full time. And he did that through Westmoreland Baptist Church. Because they came, they said, you know, we've grown large enough, we want a second staff member. Now, Gary, you'll do music, you'll do youth, and you'll do education. And I said, well, you know, okay, as long as you help me learn how to do that. And so the church loved us. But after 5 years, God called us to seminary. He said it was time to grow you, to mature you some. And so some people are wondering today if I've ever matured. So, but from there, went to Bastrop, Texas for 5 years, then up to Perryton for 11 and a half, and then God called us here 20 years ago. Through that whole journey, God has just been so faithful. And the first song this morning that we had and we shared together was a testimony of what God has done. He's been so good. So good to Donna and I. And you have been such an integral part of that, church family. How you've come alongside us and how you've nurtured us, how you've challenged us, how you've loved on us, and how you've encouraged us. And so thank you for 20 years of patience and understanding.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. So there's something about this that you don't know. You and I have done some prep work beforehand, but there's a part of this that you don't know. I've actually asked some of the people that are the closest to you to send in some pictures, and I got tons of pictures. But I do need some explanations on a couple of these. If Patrick, if you've got that first one there.
I don't know where that cuteness
so
went.
This is you at 2 months old. Do you remember that? Was that?
Yes, I do. Okay. I was born very near my mother.
Yes. And she has been grateful for that ever since then. Next picture. So tell me about this.
Long time. I just showed interest in music, and so my mom and my dad said, you know, we're going to give you piano lessons. And so that was one of those times when I was playing a piano duet.
Is that your sister, Kay?
Yes, that is my sister, Kay.
Sister Kay, okay.
Where's she at?
She's...
Oh, she was right over there.
Usually sits right here.
Okay. Anyway, we were doing a piano duet. I guess that was one of my little birthdays.
Is that one of your first cakes?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I remember that one, too. That one was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who are these folks here?
My goodness. Okay. That's my mom and dad in the background.
Okay.
Right there. And who in the world? That must be Gary and Donna. Can you believe that Donna had long hair like that? We had a lot of fun. That was on the doorstep at First Baptist Church Perryton.
Okay.
That was on one of the first days that we were there. And probably one of the first Sundays where we served there. My mom and dad, I don't know if some of you knew, my dad did join this church for a period of time after my mother had passed away. And appreciate the way you loved on him and cared for him.
So what is it that you're holding? First,
I don't know.
You have a great head of hair in that picture.
Oh, I do? So. Oh, listen, that's nothing compared to some of the hair I had. I used to have shoulder-length hair. I used to have shoulder-length hair. Y'all don't understand. I was 16 when this started, okay? And so that was near the end of the hippie movement. You know, 1970, 1971, it was just coming out of the hippie movement and into the Jesus Loves All and the Jesus movement across our history and our time. And that was about the time when I was trying to lead music and Bill Gaither was banned from singing. I mean, we couldn't sing his songs because there was such a strict thought at that particular time. So that looks like that was a birthday, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really know what that is I'm holding up.
Okay.
Sorry about that. And, you know, hey.
This is
That's
your
a Sunday afternoon.
This in your office? Or at,
No, that's not in my office.
Okay. Just checking.
I don't even remember anybody taking that thing.
Well, you didn't take it. Somebody took it of you. Yeah.
But that was probably a Sunday afternoon.
Okay, tell us about this.
Oh, that was the 40th birthday, and we were trying to reproduce a picture of our wedding. Donna and I, by the way, Donna, you want to stand up in case anybody doesn't know who you are? That's my wife. The love of my life. My sweet baby cheeks, like somebody would say. But anyway, during our wedding, when you know how you couples would always feed the cake to each other, you know, my wife picked up the biggest piece of cake and just shoved it in my face on our wedding. And we've got a picture of that, and she's got her mouth wide open like, I finally got him, you know. And so we were just trying to reproduce that on a 40th birthday. That was my 40th birthday.
There's cake in that picture, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my granddaughter. Yeah. That's our granddaughter, excuse me. And we were playing with a silly string out in the backyard. Her name is Zoe, and her brother, Zach, live with our only daughter, Amy, and her husband, Jimmy, in Perryton. So they were here visiting. There's our clan, myself and Donna, and then there's our daughter, Amy. Zoe and Zach and Jimmy.
So that's everybody.
That's right. That's our family.
Awesome.
And that was right before a Tech game.
Okay.
That's when I turned 60. That's about all I can say.
That's another cake.
That's another cake. Exploding cake.
Okay.
Yeah. But you see the big 6-0 on there. Okay.
We think you're eating cake.
I am. And that's at Amy and Jimmy's house, and their little dog would perch up on the pillow right beside, hoping I would turn around and feed him something.
Okay.
I never did.
But you're eating cake at that
right
there.
There seems to be a central theme here, David.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you zeroing in on that?
No, I've just noticed in all the pictures there was cake.
Amen.
The big thing. This before you show this next picture, Patrick, there is one. I know Snoop Dogg came into town months ago, and
yes.
you're a big Snoop Dogg fan. Yes. We actually were able to get an autographed picture that we found. Patrick, if you want to throw this. We actually found this in your office.
Yes. It hangs up in my office.
And
sure does.
So Gary is a big Snoop Dogg fan.
Yeah.
So go figure. Anything you want to tell us about him or that? Or?
Yes, you can blame the staff for that. Yep,
actually,
because I believe our pastor found a picture of a tele-evangelist in his office.
Autographed
personally to David. And I think that this picture was more of a retaliation than anything. Okay? You think your staff is nice and stoic. It is not. Okay? It is not.
Okay, you can take that down.
Amen. Take it down.
Okay. All right, so it's been 20 years. Tell us, what have you seen God do over the last 20 years that you've been here?
Boy, that is multifaceted. The thing that I have noticed the most that just brings the most joy to a minister's heart is the way that you see the church family surrender to the direction of God in their lives. That has been one of the most phenomenal things. The church, over 20 years, has seen its ups, its downs, its plateaus. It's shifting here, it's shifting there. That's normal for a church body. That's normal for a church family. You know, people leave, they get jobs, they have to move out of town. All of a sudden, you have to rebuild an orchestra or a praise band because this person moved down to Monahans to be a youth minister. Different things like that. But the thing that I just marvel at the most over all of these 20 years is being able to look at each one of you and see how God's moving in your life. See how you have surrendered to His call in your life. Each and every one of you have talents, okay? You have gifts, and you've surrendered those to Him, okay? God didn't equip you to use those gifts solely outside of these walls. He called you to use those gifts in here for the building up of the body of Christ. So that, built up and strong, we then can go out into this community. This church, which I have been so proud to be a part of, is one of the most loving, one of the most accepting churches I have ever known in my life. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. I have watched you put your arms around individuals that have come in that maybe in another church might not have been accepted, might not have been loved on, but you love on them. And I think, I want Monterey to stay there. I want Monterey to continue to be the kind of body that people feel good about coming in contact with. And then as you go out into the world, that you're that same example of Christ to those you come in contact with there. That's been the big change. That's been the big move that I've noticed in people's lives.
What do you remember about your first few weeks, months being here?
Trying to get my feet wet. Of course, and just came from an agricultural setting, came from a setting that was centralized. Everybody in town knew you. You knew them. You might see them walking down the street or down on the main, on the square, and you would know that person and know, okay, well, yeah, they go to the Church of Christ or they go to the Presbyterian or they go to, but none of that really mattered. There was a close-knit community in that situation. So coming here was a little bit different. You could go to the town square, right, downtown, but you're not going to really run into very many people that you know in that type of setting. So learning a little bit of that cultural change, coming from a small agricultural to a city and that type of thing, even though I was born and raised here, Lubbock has changed over the last 20 years, 30 years. And so learning that dynamic, learning the dynamic of my relationship with you as a church family, learning the dynamic of all of this, okay, the expectations, the anticipations, your willingness to let us try something different, your willingness to let us do something different because we felt led to. That was probably one of the biggest things right there. And, I joked a little bit ago about, the notes in the offering plates. there for a while, there were notes in the offering plate, you know, this is what we think you need to do, or this is, you need to tone this down, or you need to pick this up, you need to sing this song, you don't need to sing that song, all those types of things. But the nice thing was we dealt with those as a staff. We dealt with those in staff meeting, and we do it, and of course, you know, we tried to address that in the midst of trying to do what God was leading us to do. And you understood that. You understood that as a church family. And you were so supportive in that, and you were so encouraging in that. So I thank you for that. But
you know, as a worship leader, he has a tremendously difficult job. Because I don't know if you know this, but the way music works and the way worship works is God brings music in churches through these seasons. And so he'll lift up singers, and he'll lift up songs, and he'll lift up a different kind of worship and a different style of worship, and you'll see that, you know, through the generations. And so what happens is when you come into an environment where it's a multi-generational church like ours, for him to be able to take a worship service and speak to the person that's been a Christian for 50 years and at the same time speak to a guy that just came in off the street and doesn't know anything, to be able to follow the Lord's leadership in doing that. Gary does an excellent job in that. And if if I can be just real honest, isn't it true that a good worship service is when we sing the songs I like? But if we sing your songs, that wasn't really that great of a worship service. And so for him to be able to do what he does to try to meet the needs of our people, to bring everybody together before the throne, because, you know, we're not here to entertain you. We are here to lead you to the throne, because there's only one audience, and that's the Lord Jesus himself, right? It's all about him. And so one of the things that Gary does that I really appreciate is being able to take this season and how these changes in the music seasons and being able to incorporate some of that in, and yet at the same time sing some of the great hymns of the faith, which we always want to continue singing, but at the same time be sensitive. So I think Gary does a great job. Don't you think he does a great job with that? I think he does that. So in addition to the worship, there are some other things that you do on a day-to-day to kind of keep the thing going. And Gary and I are great partners in ministry because, I'm the vision caster and, you know, sort of set the strategy and the direction and, do the teaching and, you know, kind of make sure we're all, you know, moving in the same direction. And then Gary comes along and, well, we need to fix the air conditioner this week, or we need to order this. And so he comes in as the administrator and kind of runs the day-to-day stuff. Talk a little bit about that kind of thing that you do other than worship. Help us to see what you do kind of throughout the rest of the week.
Well, when I sat down with Jim Brown before I was called here, he said, well, you know, we're looking at asking you to come in view of a call as a worship pastor, but he said, we really need to give you something else to do so that we can sell the dual thing. And so he wanted to take care of the education part. We already had a youth pastor, and that was Dustin at the time. And I can tell you a few things about him if you won't know. But anyway, so Jim and the staff kind of came up with the idea of being minister to adult activities. Now, wrap your head around that, okay? That could be anything, okay? But I'm solely responsible, or partially, mostly responsible, to see that teenagers, the senior adult ministry, continued. If we needed to have, like for instance, a church-wide event, basically they would say, okay, Gary, what do we need? What do we need to do here? What do we need to order? Okay, do we need to enlist a band for that? Do we need, you know, everything? Okay, we need to get some guys to fry some hamburgers and cook some fish, okay? So that was part of my responsibility, which was administrative in a sense, but just didn't have that title, basically, to that. And like you shared just now, you know, the day-by-day ministry type things, go through everything from, like you said, to see that an air conditioner is replaced, to, hey, we got a problem with the parking lot, we got a hole in the parking lot that needs to be filled, to cover those bases there, to make sure that we have enough of this and that for you to come in on Sunday and everything be as normal and as close to what you are expecting. And so we do that. But that is a team effort. That is definitely a staff effort. And so we're thankful for that.
So thinking about the future of our church, what do you want to see happen? What are your hopes, your dreams for us?
First of all, I want 2 snow making machines, and I need a fog machine. No, I'm just teasing. We're not going to do fog. I'm just teasing. First and foremost for Monterey Baptist Church is to continue to be the Spirit-led people you are. And I mean that with all my heart.
Amen.
You have such a genuineness about you, the church family here does, to continue to reach the people around you and continue to be the supportive people you are. Continue to lift up your staff like you do, okay? We're just human beings. We make mistakes, and then there are the days that, we like to celebrate the victories. We're just human, okay? But we've been called of God and set apart to be sensitive to His leadership. So that would be my second ask or my second prayer, that we will be tuned to what God wants His church family to be, okay? That we will be able to lead as a staff in the direction that God wants us to go, that we'll be sensitive to His voice, that we'll hear Him, that we'll have a heart and a mind that will seek after His direction, His guidance, His leading, okay? And yes, we can all say that we'd love to see every seat in this place filled. And that would be a joyous time, but that would be a time, and that's only going to be a time when you and I individually are responsible out there, outside these walls, sharing the Christ and His love, His direction for our lives with others, and showing them when they come, you continue being the genuine people you are in Christ. And that would be my prayer for Monterey Baptist Church.
Well, so what you're hearing on the platform is what we hear and see every day in our office. Here's a guy that loves the Lord. He is so in love with you guys and has such a desire on a Sunday morning to come and not just lift up the Lord God, but also bring you into the presence of the Lord. And so he does a great, great job. He helps with pastoral ministry, and he helps just kind of keep this thing going. It's been an amazing 20 years, and I'm anxious to see what God does in the future with you. Aren't you guys? Yeah. Amen. So just before we're going to ask Gary and Donna to step out, we're going to have a reception for them right over here in the main entry. But before we do, I want to do 2 things. One, I want to pray for you and pray for Donna as well. But I do have one other picture that I need explaining, and I'm not sure if you could... can you show us that?
No, I will not show you that. Life Song has always been such a joy, one of the added joys here. For those of you that don't know, we have a youth choir called Life Song, and we prepare a program every year, and we go on tour. I mean, we've been everywhere from Arizona up to Omaha, Nebraska, to St. Louis, to Illinois, to Colorado, to Oklahoma, Missouri, and several locations here in Texas. And that was at usually one day out of the week. I give them their reward day. And that's usually near the end of tour. And we go to, where did you get that picture? I want to know. You're not, okay. But anyway, we have a reward day. So I took them to a fair, an amusement park. And they had one of those temporary tattoo places, okay? It only lasted about 3 days, okay? And so, in fact, I even had that on my arm the Sunday we did the return concert, but none of you saw it because it was under the shirt. So anyway, we're just having some fun. Bunch of the kids were doing it, and they were daring me. Come on, Gary, do it. Well, what? And they said, well, why don't you get the Phoenix? And so I got the Phoenix. So,
there you go.
But it is temporary. There's not a marking on my body.
So you don't have that on your arm?
I do not have that on my arm.
All right, well.
Aren't you glad?
Maybe the next 20 years you'll have it.
Yeah, no telling. Yeah.
Well, let me pray. Pray for you guys. Let's pray for Gary and Donna. God, we are so, so grateful for Gary and the years that they've served you faithfully in this place. And God, just the desire that they have to know you and to make you known. The desire they have to bring your people before you every week. And God, how they do that well. And Father, thank you for these years that it's always been about you and what you're doing and celebrating your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Father, thank you for what Gary and Donna mean to us these 20 years and how you've used them to impact us and to teach us about worship, to teach us about you, to teach us about what it means to be a people who are committed to you and who love you with all of our heart and soul and being. And Father, we thank you that your hand is upon them and the desires and the needs that they have. God, we just lift them before you. We're grateful that you're their God. We're grateful for your faithfulness and your goodness to them. And continue, Father, to use them in a way that not just impacts our church, but impacts this community. Thank you for how you're using them and for the difference that they're making, not just in my life and the life of my family, but in the life of our church. And we just lift them before you today. And Father, we thank you so much for them. And we celebrate them and your goodness to them and to us through their ministry here. And so, God, we're just grateful for what you're doing. And we pray in the amazing name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.